listening to a brand new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host Jason Williams, and we are now moving on to talk about the playoffs. Jason, it is playoff time in Cincinnati. How are you feeling this week?
Hey, I'm looking forward to the playoffs. Let's see what the Bengals can do. Having won 8 in a row, they are a better team right now than they were at this time last year. Does that mean they're going to the Super Bowl again? No idea. You know, it's the crazy world of the NFL, but it's exciting that the playoffs have arrived.
It is exciting, and it's crazy because last year at this time, we were getting ready for the Bengals to face the Raiders, and it was kind of similar in that you thought the Bengals were going to beat the Raiders, right? Like, it was not... I didn't really think Derek Carr was going to be able to come into Cincinnati and win that game. But that game, remember, was the first playoff win and really set the tone for all of the record-breaking things that the Bengals did. And as you mentioned, they're a better team now. But I feel differently about this team heading into the playoffs, knowing how much experience they have. Almost every single one of their starters returned from that Super Bowl team last year that obviously came up short against the Rams, but they have experience. This team knows what it takes to make that type of run. So, and they start off with a wild card game that I think that they should win. It's not going to be easy. The Ravens are a tough matchup for the Bengals. Yep. The Bengals have scored under 20 points in every time that they faced the Ravens this year, and that's not by coincidence. The Baltimore Ravens have a very good defense. They're very salty, and they're going to have their players back. It's unclear at the moment, and it's sounding like Lamar Jackson isn't going to be able to go. Obviously, we don't know for sure. We'll keep a close eye on the injury report this week. But if they don't have Lamar Jackson, this offense doesn't, in my opinion, have enough to compete with the Bengals' offensive firepower. But the Bengals are their own enemy to some degree. And we saw that on Sunday when these two teams met last week because, and there are some things to consider. I'm going to point that out. The Bengals offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan, said there were some things that they didn't show because they knew they were going to face this team again. But the Bengals did not play well against the Ravens in the last game. And if they play like that against the Ravens with full strength, including J.K. Dobbins, their star running back, Mark Andrews, their star tight end, Marcus Peters, their star cornerback, all of those guys are going to be back this week. And the Bengals are going to need to play much better to beat this Ravens team on Sunday Night Football.
No doubt about it, Kelsey. When you think about, you know, they played the Ravens as mostly their backups. And it was just, I think the whole week I've been trying to process where the Bengals are right now. Last week, do you chalk last week up to, number one, they won the game, so that's good. But, you know, they were sluggish. And do you chalk that up against the backups, the Ravens backups? Do you chalk that up to really, really an emotional week with DeMar Hamlin, the low of wondering if he's going to make it to the high of that he's doing really well and making great progress. And so I think maybe you could look at that game and think, oh, there was a little bit of like, hey, these guys were they're a little emotionally tired after a really unprecedented week. You know that word gets used a lot and overused, but certainly for those young guys in the NFL, like, they've never seen anything like that in their career and hopefully never will again. And so there's that factor. There's also the factor too, when you look at this team, they've now won 8 games in a row. They've not particularly played a full game well. Agreed. For a while now. And so I gotta admit this. And for the first time in a while, I'm kind of wondering if this team is not due for a loss, and that I know that the timing of it would be terrible for them, but I didn't have those thoughts after Tampa Bay. I didn't have those thoughts after New England. You know, I know some people were a little down on them after New England. Like, I still felt like, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's Christmas Eve and, you know, on the road and you chalk it up or whatever and move on to the holidays and get ready for Buffalo. But after this game Sunday, given all the emotions and, you know, now you throw in that you lose Alex Kappa, the right guard, and now your entire starting right side of the offensive line, the two starters are now out with injuries, and what a terrible timing of that. I'm a little like, I'm not as, I just don't have as much confidence in this team right now. On the flip side, the moment you start doubting these guys, they seem to thrive on it and perform. And the moment you think like, oh my, these guys may be poised for a loss, they come out and they turn it on. Mm-hmm. And that all goes back to the number nine. And it's nothing new. It's nothing new to people. And he's got some kind of special way of making things happen for that entire locker room, no matter what happens to those guys, no matter how many injuries they have, or no matter what's going on in the outside world. You know, Joe Burrow just has that ability to get these guys ready to go. And I think Sunday's going to be, I think it's going to be an incredibly competitive game. Mm-hmm. I'm almost leaning toward this is it. And I haven't looked, I don't do the betting thing. But you know, I haven't looked at the line, but, it almost feels like, I hate to use this phrase, but, you know, flip a coin. 'Cause I think this is going to be, a knockdown drag out.
Does Lamar Jackson's availability do anything in terms of changing your opinion on how you think the game will go?
Yeah, I mean, could the Ravens win if they have Lamar Jackson? Is that how I feel? Yes. Does it necessarily mean that they're going to win because of him playing? Like, I don't have that feeling either. But I certainly think that to me right now, I feel like without Lamar Jackson, this is still an incredibly close game.
Yeah.
But the Bengals find a way.
Yeah.
With Lamar Jackson, I'm like, oof, I'm a little more like pretty torn.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm at. And people, I'm glad that we're both giving the respect to the Ravens, because people do not understand how good their run offense is. They are one of the league's best for a reason, and the Bengals have very much struggled to defend Mark Andrews for the last couple of years. So He's going to be a big part of their game plan. And the guy who has typically guarded tight ends for the Bengals, Trey Flowers, has not played particularly well this season. So I think it's worth putting out there that if you're a Bengals fan and you think that just because Lamar Jackson isn't going to play, that the Bengals will just steamroll this team, that is not going to happen. They have too good of players, not at the quarterback position, And they're going to be gassed up. Like they've heard people saying, I don't know about the Ravens without Lamar Jackson. How do you think the rest of the players in that locker room feel? They're like, no, we can do this without Lamar. Yep. And you have to wonder, and it would be a good offseason podcast for us, but if Lamar doesn't play, does it start to create division in the locker room for the Ravens? Because it was a thought for most, I think, that if you sit out the regular season, that's fine. Just make sure you're back for the playoffs. And we don't know the details of his knee injury. So his knee injury could still be very bad and he physically can't play. I think that if he was able to play, he'd play this weekend. But you have to wonder, because there is some people starting to float out, is he making a business decision by sitting out because he's not 100% and doesn't want to further injure himself and then not have the guaranteed contract? You just wonder if there's going to start to be some division in the locker room in Baltimore with Lamar because of how this thing is played out. But that's just kind of going to my point of, like, the rest of that locker room is going to be fired up to come to Cincinnati, play this game on Sunday Night Football. I would also like to point out, Sunday Night Football is strategically picked. It's the biggest show on TV. Sunday Night Football, by far, every year is the most watched thing on, and not even on Sundays, just year round. Sunday Night Football is that popular. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why on Wild Card Weekend, the NFL picked Baltimore and Cincinnati to play in their primetime slot. You got the Cowboys and Bucks on Monday Night Football, and you got the Ravens and Bengals. And so if that doesn't tell you what the league thinks of the Ravens and what they think the fans will be interested in watching, like, I think this is going to be a close game. But I want to go back to one point, to 2 points before we close out. But the first one you said, and you said they haven't, the Bengals haven't quite played a complete game in a while. Mm-hmm. And you're spot on with that, because if you go back to Tampa, right, the first half, they looked like they were about to get blown out. New England, they looked like they were going to blow New England out and then obviously let them come back in the second half. And then last, the Bills game, we don't know what would have happened. And then against the Ravens, they did not play well at all. I was listening to the Chiefs game on Saturday against the Raiders. And following the game, Andy Reid said, "We hadn't put together a full game yet." And I thought that that was the most complete that this team has played against the Raiders. And I think there's something to be said for putting it all together at one time heading into the playoffs. And that's where I feel like, even though the Bengals have beaten the Chiefs, is that why you'd probably favor the Chiefs? Because right now they're playing more complete football than the Bengals. I don't know. What do you think about that?
It's a great question. It's a hard answer because, I think after every one of those games, people can question like, well, oh, they play like that again next week. They're going to get beat. They didn't get beat. Oh, right. Play like, mm-hmm. Oh, they did it again, which we saw like Tampa and New England back to back. And what was the game earlier in the season? Oh, Pittsburgh game right after the bye. They were not good in the first half of that game and found a way to win. Mm-hmm. On the road in frigid cold in Pittsburgh. And, we could sit here and, it's a new season now. It's the playoffs. And, I don't know. It would be really interesting to see what this Bengals team would look like if they fired on all cylinders for 60 minutes. What is the end result of that? Mm-hmm. Obviously, and against a good team. I don't know. With that Ravens defense, and I think too, and this is something that crossed my mind thinking back on the game the other day. John Harbaugh was doing something there. You almost feel like, was he trying to play some kind of mind games or something? And I know it's the NFL. And
well, he said that they viewed before last week's game as a 2-week plan for the Bengals. So to your point, I think he was trying to like tire the Bengals out.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So he viewed it as a 2-week plan, and that's why he didn't play J.K. Dobbins and Mark Andrews.
Well, and then on the flip side, it's the Bengals starters against mostly Ravens backups, and those Ravens backups were scrappy, and they made to Harbaugh's point, like, they made the Bengals earn that victory, and especially coming off such an emotional week. And the fact too that there was pressure on the Bengals, like, they did not want that thing to go to a coin flip. And especially like a coin flip that would have gone the Ravens' way, and then having to open up there this weekend in the playoffs would have just been, I think, very demoralizing for this Bengals team, the defending AFC champions, the team that had won 7 in a row going into last weekend. And I just think it would have not been good. And so the Bengals felt the pressure to avoid that, and they did, but it, I hate to say that, like, but at what cost?
Right.
Like, at what, mm-hmm. Well, certainly at the cost of Alex Kappa.
Yeah.
And at what, you know, emotional fatigue and, you know,
I mean, you and I are sitting next to each other. You and I sit next to each other in the press box and we kept saying, at what point can Zach take the starters out? Like, what point in this game would you feel comfortable with? And the Bengals messed around and didn't get there.
It never happened. Right.
And then Alex Kappa goes down. So, and obviously,
I remember that you and I were talking about that in midway second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it never happened. And I remember turning to you at some point, I think it was after, did the Bengals get a field goal or something in the third quarter? I can't remember the scoring sequence. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember turning to you like sometime midway third quarter and like you think, and then you told me like you gave me a number on what you thought they needed to get to.
I think I said 31.
Yes. And they were at 27.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they. Yeah,
so the other thing I thought might be worth talking about is, do you at all get a feeling of you're almost waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Bengals defense? Like they're a really good, solid defense.
Mm-hmm.
But do you at all? And there, I feel like there's two sides to this, right? Because every interception or turnover they earn. And I'm not trying mm-hmm. to take anything away from them. But I mean, going back to the Kansas City game, right? Like, had Travis Kelce not fumbled the ball, that game I don't think the Bengals win. Had Tom Brady not played like the worst half of his life in the second half against the Bengals, and I'm not trying to take away from the interceptions that Jermaine Pratt and some of these guys had, but like, two of them were basically gifts that Tom Brady gave, and Leonard Fournette fumbling. And then the interceptions last week from the Ravens' third string quarterback. Does it make you wonder, all right, well, if they start playing a team like, I mean, because Josh Allen moved the ball really well on them on the Bills' first drive before the game got canceled. Does it make you have any apprehension about the rematches coming with Buffalo and potentially Kansas City that maybe the luck, if they don't luck out, will, like, how good is the Bengals? Is the Bengals defense really good enough?
I think there should be some concern there. And I think that, you know, especially you play the Bills and then Kansas City, which would be at the Bills and at Kansas City if the Bengals get that far. I think the injuries in the secondary, particularly the cornerbacks, I think that's when it could potentially be exposed big time. You're talking about on a different stage now.
Right.
And you're talking about you know, elite quarterbacks, won a Super Bowl champion in Mahomes. And so I do. And these things, if you and I have talked about it, I'm sure it's crossed your mind a handful of times throughout as the injuries have kept happening in the secondary. It's certainly with me, and you're thinking like, when is this?
Right.
When's this going to be exposed, or when is this going to really, well, not exposed, more so, when's it going to cost them?
Mm-hmm.
When is this going to cost them a game? And if it's going to cost them, it's, well, I mean, you're again, you got the Bills and the Chiefs. So we'll see if they get past Sunday. And goodness, they're just, I just, in my gut feeling, they are in for a real dogfight. And I think it has the potential of looking a lot like that first Bengals Ravens game on Sunday night in Baltimore, which went 19-17 the Ravens way. Not necessarily saying that, you know, but because remember at that time, the Bengals offense was still just, still kind of sputtering. I'm not necessarily saying it because of the Bengals offense like, we know what it can do. And,
right.
You know, I don't think, I guess what I'm saying, the Bengals offense at that time beat themselves. Like, if this is a dogfight on Sunday, I don't think it's because the Bengals offense beats itself. It could be because of the injuries on the right side, or it could be just because the Ravens are a freaking daggone good defense. If that makes sense. Like, I don't want people to think like the Bengals are going to beat themselves offensively necessarily the way they did against the Ravens back in October. But it still could be a 19-17 type of game. And you go through and you look at, I mean, I would encourage people to go through and look at the Ravens scores. Most of their games have been low scoring games because their defense is really good. And all their, you know, and they have some of their key guys back coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm glad we talked about that. And I want to say, I mean that with absolute no disrespect to the Bengals defense.
No.
There are a ton of really good players on that defense, and they are a very well coached group. I just think of it in the lens of, like you said, at what point are some of those injuries and other things that are out of their control, will it come back and bite them? And I just don't know. But I do know that, and we'll talk about it if the rematch happens, but I just don't know if I'd be able to pick the Bengals to beat Patrick Mahomes for a fourth time. I just don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, but I don't know if I could either. But well,
they got to win. They got to win this weekend, and then in Buffalo, if the Bills beat the Dolphins this weekend, which I'm excited to watch that game. I think that game might be closer. But I will say this: the Bengals, I think, are lucky to be playing the Baltimore Ravens instead of the Chargers. Because I'm not sure I'd be able to pick the Bengals if they were playing the Chargers this weekend with Justin Herbert throwing the ball the way he is.
And the edge rushers really hot right now.
And the edge rushers that the Chargers have, especially with Kappa and Collins now out. So, but
I got a couple questions for you. A couple questions.
Hit me.
One, do you look at before we start the playoffs this year, is it a tougher road for the Bengals to get back to the Super Bowl or to get to the Super Bowl this year versus last year? Or was last year tougher to you? What do you think is a tougher road
between the two seasons? This year, because they played the Raiders, right? Everybody knew they were going to win that game. Then they played the Titans. Everybody knew they were going to win that game because I think that, yes, the Titans were the number one seed and they were really good. You could never trust Ryan Tannehill. And in order to win playoff games, you have to have good quarterback play. So brings me to this year where they got to play the Ravens, which the Ravens are better than the Raiders were last year. But then that divisional game against Buffalo in Buffalo is a way harder game, I think, than the Bengals going to Tennessee last year to get to Arrowhead.
Agreed.
No.
My second question is, and you asked the question the other day, and it's gotten a lot of play across many, many media to Joe Burrow about the window of opportunity for him or for this Bengals team. And, you know, he gave you a really good answer, that the window of opportunity is his entire career. Well, yeah, for him, his perspective, certainly. But the reality of the NFL, is the salary cap and really hamstrings organizations, and that's the way it's set up. And we're coming up on, they're going to have to pay Burrow, and something's got to give because you're limited to what you can pay. If they don't get there, and no one's really talking about this, but you and I have talked about, we were sort of breaking it down the other day. When you look at, and we don't need to break it, we can do this later, but generally speaking, knowing they have to come up and pay Burrow here soon, this team isn't going to look the same next year. We're sitting here today saying the team this year looks the same as it did last year, with the exception they added a few pieces on the offensive line. next year's team could look different. I mean, there's some guys that may not be back or probably won't be back because the Bengals have to save money to pay Burrow. So the question is this the window for this team here? And if they don't get there now, could it be a while? And that's a heavy question. I just want to get your, and again, we'll get into this more later. Yeah. I think certainly, you know, maybe next week or whatever in the off season or something, but just as you sort of general thoughts on that.
I do. And I'm not trying to say, cause I don't want people thinking that I'm saying this is the only shot Joe Burrow will ever get. I think
put your analysis cap on.
He will make the Bengals relevant every year. He gives the Bengals a chance every year. But as someone who has covered two Super Bowls now and has been doing this for 10 years, the salary cap is a real thing. And it is, the numbers prove it. Teams that are the rookie contract is the money, are the money years. So like you're mentioning, and we can go through exactly who are the free agents, but this, in my opinion, is the year for the Bengals because of who they're going to lose because they're going to have to pay Joe Burrow this offseason. And when you pay the quarterback, what they're going to have to pay him, Joe Burrow is going to become the highest paid quarterback at the time. It happens every single time the quarterback resets the market. They are going to not be able to sign good players, i.e. Jesse Bates. They couldn't pay him what he wanted because Katie Blackburn and the Bengals are very strategic and plan this thing out years in advance, knowing what they're going to have to pay Burrow, knowing what they want to pay T. Higgins, knowing what they want to pay Ja'Marr Chase. This is the year. T. Higgins will be on the team next year, but if they don't get a deal done with him this offseason, say goodbye to T. Higgins. In next year, I mean, some of the names, Jermaine Pratt, Jesse Bates on defense. There's a list of like 15 guys and there's four starters on defense that are going to be free agents. And so in my opinion, this is the year if the Bengals could really capitalize on the window. And I want to be careful in saying that that doesn't mean that I don't think that they would be able to get back. I'm just saying, looking at the way that this team is going to change because of Burrow, this is the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we will debate that a lot this offseason when the negotiations and stuff start. But I mean, that brings us to a good place to conclude this, because it just would sting pretty bad if there was an early wild card exit. I think that fans could tolerate a loss to Buffalo in Buffalo. But I think a home wild card loss to the Ravens with this team, I think would sting pretty hard. Don't you agree?
I do. And I haven't really thought about the fallout of a loss, to be honest with you, but that now that you mention it, it would sting. And you just, makes me wonder, like, the fan base, and how would the fan base react? Does it become a,
are you even able to be happy about what the Bengals accomplished? Because they're back-to-back champions, AFC North champions for the first time in franchise history. They've provided fans with some amazing wins and moments, but would this make all of that go away?
I don't think it would make it all go away. No. I mean, and again, because of number nine, he's not going anywhere. And so I think, like you said it perfectly, like with number nine, you've always got a hope. You've always got a chance. But you know, it's funny to think, when you think about, step back and look at the big picture of, you know, 30 years of mostly mediocre football, and then the meteoric rise to the Super Bowl last year raises everyone's expectations. You're only human as a sports fan, and it just it's really been wonderful to really observe how Bengals fans have stuck with this franchise and have really just gotten behind it. And I mean, to a point where, like, and again, like, maybe I'm biased because I'm around it or I see it and living here in Cincinnati, but Bengals fans, they don't have anything to be ashamed of against any other fan base in the NFL. They're a pretty strong group of people, and they're there for their team. On the flip side, with the expectations of going to the Super Bowl last year, what is going to be the fallout? I mean, certainly, yes, there will be incredible disappointment. But does that get the fan base to start calling for a change of coach or a change of, you know, personnel or what, you know, whatever? Like, I don't know. And I'm saying that not knowing, like, maybe people were just like, it was a hell of a run, and this season ended very awkwardly for standpoint of football, because of what happened last Monday night. And maybe you're like, people will just be disappointed, and you know, you didn't get to play one of your games, and what happens if that were to happen? And so maybe all those things get jumbled up in the emotions of it, and you're like, all right, well, we got number 9 and we got his receiving core. See you next year. I really don't know. But because this is a place where, you know, most of these fans, you know, really probably haven't been before. Right.
Right. Yeah. Well, we will be able to debate on this in the off season, which we are hoping doesn't start this weekend. I, for one, hate the NFL offseason. It seems like it goes so slow, and it seems like the storylines just get beat to the ground, same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I would very much rather be in a game week, getting ready, providing content to our listeners and fans, getting ready for a game. So obviously, you hope for that. But as you said, I think it's going to be a tough game on Sunday. So we will see where the chips fall. Jason and I will be there on Sunday into the wee hours of the morning, of course, providing you with our analysis and his opinion following the game. And we'll follow up with the podcast. We'll either be talking about the Bengals moving on to the divisional round, or we will be talking about where things stand with the franchise. So be sure to tune in. But as always, be sure to check out Cincinnati.com throughout the week as we get you guys ready for the upcoming game between the Bengals and the Ravens on Wild Card Weekend.